The best of 1170 SEN.
It is breakfast with Joe and Jimmy. We're doing it right up until 9 o'clock, and it is this Tuesday, the 11th of January. If you're listening in Sydney Town, you realise it's pretty hot at the moment. It's going to get a little bit hotter as well, maximum of 29 degrees in the Emerald City today. Wherever it is you're listening, whether it's 1170 SEN in Sydney, SEN Track on the Central Coast and the Illawarra through 90.3 FM in Griffith, those listening anywhere in the world, on the SEN app, we say good morning to you. We say good morning also to our Queensland listeners, still listening through 10:53 a.m. in Brisbane and 16:20 a.m. on the Gold Coast. You got us for the next hour. Then, of course, the great Pat and Heels from 6 a.m. Queensland time. We're here for Brighton's Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. You can call Brighton's Lawyers. That's 1-800-848-848 or visit brightons.com.au. We're doing it for 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined, 4ddoors.com.au. Get us on the McDonald Jones Homes open line, 1300 01 1170, and you can send us a text, have your say on any issue, 0457 736 736. Would you believe, Joe Healy, who's in the studio again, that there is actually just one issue that seems to be dominating all the newspaper space and probably the airwaves this morning, and that issue is summed up in two words, Novak Djokovic. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Where to start on this, honestly? The timeline of events over the past 6 months in reading about this and learning about the situation is one thing. The timeline of events from yesterday, just going through the court case and the absolute shambles that was, my goodness, I don't know how I feel about this anymore. I was angry at the fact that he tried to sort of not cheat the system necessarily, but you know, weasel his way into Australia. It obviously has been hard for people who have been separated from their own families and not able to get to loved ones, miss out on funerals, all that kind of thing. It's been a terrible couple of years for a lot of people. And then for someone to waltz on in here as if they are better than everybody else, really stung. But now, after seeing the way that the Australian government has treated Novak, I don't know. Now I sit on the fence. I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, don't tell me there's an empathy starting to come for Novak Djokovic.
I think there is a little bit. It is a first, but...
Yeah, I agree with you. I tend to agree with you. I think the Australian sporting public, maybe not Melbourne, and that's probably going to play out during the course of the matches, but the rest of Australia is saying, oh, hang on a minute, there's a judge here. The judge's name is Anthony Kelly. And he said that Novak Djokovic has been treated unfairly by Border Force officials and also ordered the government to pay Novak Djokovic costs. So he's looked at all the evidence presented. We've heard bits and pieces, you know, releases to select media people, and they've been able to take them to a wider audience. But when all the evidence is presented, Judge Anthony Kelly said, no, actually, I'm going to rule in favour of you, Novak. You're the one that's been wronged in this instance. And in fact, you can stay in Australia, you can play in the Aussie Open. So just incredible. He was practicing last night at Rod Laver Arena in a midnight training session. So it would seem now, unless there's intervention from the Immigration Minister, Alex Hawke, that he will be playing in the Australian Open. And I guess we have to get our heads around that. And we ask the question, how do you feel about that, Australian sports fans?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable when you think about it. And I don't know, for Novak, as I said, he's not necessarily done the right thing, but he also did not deserve to be treated the way he was treated. And then the other issue that comes from this that's not sport related at all is the fact that you remember and you're reminded that there are that many other people that are in detention and that have been there for years. And then the human rights side of things comes into it, and you start really thinking about them and wondering what you can do to help that situation and bring light on that. I don't know. The whole thing is just, it blows my mind what has transpired in the last little while.
Novak's mother, father and younger brother have all had press conferences in Belgrade. His father, Serjan, has called Prime Minister Scott Morrison a dictator. He's called on the Queen, recognising now he's just playing to our weak spot, isn't he? He's saying, oh, that's right, you're not a republic. Oh, that's right, you've still got a little old lady in England that looks after you guys. So I'm going to appeal to the Queen of England that she do these things to Australia and to Scott Morrison. So hitting a weak point there. But now, Alex Hawke, the immigration minister, still considering whether they cancel Novak Djokovic's visa. Apparently, a spokesperson for the minister said yesterday, the minister is currently considering the matter and the process remains ongoing. That would mean 3 years out of the country. That's a big call. We heard that from BP yesterday, Brett Phillips. That's a massive call to say, righto, not only are we taking you out, but we're taking you out for the next three tournaments as well.
And they can't do that. That's a play on who he is, and they are picking on a guy, and I've told you before, I'm not his biggest fan, but you can't, I don't think, go after somebody, an individual like that, just out of spite.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very vindictive way. And it actually brings to a point here, and, you know, it depends what you read on your Twitter feed and across all of that, right? But, you know, just because he's not your favourite, I would hate to see a government, you know, starting to use its exercises powers in such a fashion, because that is when you start getting to a dictatorship and a fascist state, and then the government just picks and chooses who they allow into the country and who they don't allow. Rules are rules, Scotty Morrison. It'd be interesting to see what happens here. We'll follow that throughout the course of the morning. You can have your say on that. 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line 0457 736 736. John Alexander, so he is the federal minister member for Bennelong in the Liberal Party, and he's gone on Facebook last night and said, it would appear COVID negative Novak has complied with all health entry requirements. The judge asking, what more could this man have done? So he's basically gone on in support of Novak Djokovic, which is perhaps against his own government, which is interesting. The minister's personal powers to cancel visas are designed to prevent criminals otherwise walking our streets, or to prevent a contagious person otherwise walking our streets. They're not designed to assist in dealing with a potential political problem of the day. So JA's come out swinging.
Yeah, and interesting as well that he's obviously done that as a tennis, with his tennis hat on, as opposed to the government, because he's sitting obviously on the backbench there. But I love the fact that actually Novak Djokovic is in a powerful position here, and I don't think he'll do it, but he could quite easily go, okay, I'm going to stick it to you, Australia and Australian Open organisers, and I'm not going to play. After all of this, the biggest draw card could just go, nah, F you, I'm out.
And look, I don't think it's in his nature. I really don't.
No, it's not, but I love that he's got the power, and the possibility is there.
But you're right. If you've got this power, why wouldn't you exercise it? Like, the only thing, like, Craig Tiley must be sending him a text message every 10 minutes. Hi, Novak, everything okay? Can I get you anything?
Exactly. They
talk about the Aussie Open being a really player-led tournament that I forget who was saying it. Maybe they're a little too pampered. Who'd have thought that someone could be more pampered than what these players are pampered in other tournaments? But apparently Australia's over the top on that one. But every 15 minutes, Craig Tiley, can I get you anything, Novak? Is everything okay, Novak? Can I grab your towel, Novak? I tell you what, the first game that he plays in Melbourne at the Aussie Open,
it's going to be so interesting. So
grab your popcorn. Get on the couch and make sure you don't miss that one, because no doubt it'll be on at prime time. Well, absolutely.
We'll get to this in a second, but Nick Kyrgios was talking about it on his podcast the other day. I think it's round four that he and Novak would potentially meet in terms of the draw. And even Nick, speaking himself, he's so clued up, and he's not afraid to say it, but he's like, if we both make it to round four, that is going to be the most watched tennis match on the planet, probably in the last decade.
Absolutely. He's got a bit of an issue first up. He's COVID positive. Nick Kyrgios. So he pulled out of the Sydney tournament, and people were wondering why. Now, he's going to be ready 7 days in to play in the Aussie Open. It's the worst, and I think I can speak from experience, and so can you, Joe Healy. It's the worst possible preparation for his tournament. Also, add to that the fact he hasn't played competitively since September. So he's got a massive concern there. So you mentioned the draw. It will be crucial who Nick Kyrgios draws in the Aussie Open about how far he actually progresses.
Yeah, no, exactly. The good news is that he has come out and said that he's symptom-free and he's feeling healthy. So depending on his situation, he may be staying somewhere where there is a court. Hopefully he's able to get out and train, even though he is in isolation. But the good news for any Nick fans out there is, from all reports, he has never looked better on the court. In training, mentally, he's energized. Apparently, he is really coming in hot to the Australian Open. This is obviously a hurdle in the way of that campaign. But hopefully, he's done enough, regardless, that he will still be there and hopefully put up a good performance throughout the tournament.
So you're speaking to all three Nick Kyrgios fans this morning, letting them know that. So thank you, Joe. That's nice you to do that.
You're welcome, everyone out there. No problem.
You could almost name them, couldn't you? No surprise there was protests that turned a little violent down in Melbourne. Free Novak was the thing's chanting, and then they got a little bit carried away. Apparently there's a car went past. They thought Novak was in it. There's a little bit of tear gas going around. So with the police and a bit of pepper spray flying around. So not really surprised at that.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room, though?
Yes.
Was there actually porn that was played throughout the court case? Did that actually happen, or is that one of those hearsay rumors? I can't wait to speak to Brett Phillips and find out.
Apparently he was watching intently.
Poor guy. Poor guy's not here to back himself up, Jimmy.
I saw it reported. I did also see a couple of people, Craig Gabriel, who's a renowned tennis reporter, talking about, hey, here's the access to the link. The link crashed. Of course it did. It's like when you go, oh, well, hopefully we'll get 100 users, and then you get 1,000 users and the whole joint just crashes, which is one of these high-level problems. So as a result of that, Novak had to be taken out of his original hotel. They said, you've got to go and let him go and watch this somewhere. So they were able to do that. So Novak was essentially in hiding all of yesterday as all these things played out. Then, as we said, he went to Rod Laver Arena. He had a hit. He tweeted after that, basically, thank you for standing with me through all of this and encouraging me to stay strong. So he's very selective about what he reads on Twitter then, because it was about 50-50, those in support and those against. But give us your thoughts on the McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line, 0457 736 736. All right, it's time now to have a chat to our man BP. I'm sure he's over this, but anyway, thanks to Yonex. Not over Yonex, obviously. January 15, that's this Saturday, launch their new E-Zone 7th generation tennis racket. It's crafted for power. Head to yonex.com. BP, good morning to you, mate. We have at this present time
morning.
Novak practicing at Rod Laver Arena late last night in the Australian Open. However, the Immigration Minister, Alex Hawke, still has the right to deport him from the country. How's it going to play out, mate? Good morning.
Yeah, it's a million-dollar question, guys. It's a tough one to read. I mean, if he does execute his executive powers, and once again cancel the visa, I mean, that can be taken back to court again. So this thing could just keep going, you know, back and forth. You know, I think, you know, just listening to you guys, some of the feedback from your listeners, I mean, you know, this whole process, you know, could have been, or whole saga could have been avoided before he even jumped on a plane with much more clarity. So the federal government, you know, doesn't look great in that regard on an international stage. And obviously that's the way the judge has gone yesterday in terms of the procedural fairness to Djokovic, who came in with what he believed was everything he needed. The federal government, obviously, you know, and state government and the mixed messaging. So if the Morrison government and the immigration minister specifically were going to cancel his visa again, I think it'd be an even further PR disaster for the federal government. And look, you know, you'd love to be a fly on the wall. It's an election year. We know politics plays its part. You know, does it look great that you're now going to leave a sports person, you know, a privileged sports person in our country for 3 weeks, unvaccinated, and the message that sends? So they're wrestling with a fair bit. But, yeah, we'll wait and see whether we get a resolution on it today.
Well, as we know, the minister can still cancel the visa from here on in. But in terms of the political side of things, is this really big enough, do we think, to actually influence a lot of the votes around the election?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, time passes, doesn't it? I mean, You know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's not my forte to get into politics, but I mean, a lot of people, you know, couldn't give two hoots about politics and, you know, try and avoid it and stay away from it. And by the time a federal election comes around, I mean, other things crop up and things change and move and people forget. You know, do people vote on one particular instance or an issue that influences them, you know, to go against that particular party? I don't know. I think, you know, people are just so weary in Australia of the whole pandemic, everything around it. It's still going on. It looks like it could still go on for quite some time. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's... I mean, the biggest thing here is that there's just... the joke's on us, isn't it, really? On the world stage, from a federal, state government point of view, the joke is absolutely on Australia that it didn't have its ducks in order to make sure that there was absolute clarity of you coming into the country. I mean, most people thought there was absolute clarity, that, you know, it's been rammed down our throats, so you've got to be double vaxxed to get in, and, you know, there's not too many people who are going to be getting exemptions. And when you hear that the common man or woman is not getting in because, you know, their exemptions haven't been rubber stamped, and you've got a top flight sports person who does, it makes people angry. There's no doubt about that. And you know, you don't know each case individually as to, you know, make a true assessment about that. But he's here for now. We'll see what happens today.
You said it yesterday first, and that was you didn't think that the immigration minister would exercise those rights to ban for 3 years. And I think the more we read about it, the more they'll feel the mood of the people. What's going to be really important here, BP, is how Novak Djokovic is seen during the course of these 3 weeks. If we see him walking along the muddy waters of the Yarra eating an ice cream or walking down Collins Street, that's a concern. If he goes from hotel room practice, hotel room game, that's a different situation. Do you think anyone's advising him on that?
Yeah, well, Jimmy, we saw him, you know, have a hit on Rod Laver at midnight last night with his team. So he was able to do that. His movement, yeah, will be interesting as to what he can do, because obviously under the quarantining rules here, he hasn't had to, you know, isolate for a period. He was, you know, free to come into the country and move about. So, you know, I think he's got a pretty tight-knit team around him. He'll be fairly smart. It'll be interesting to see whether he speaks this week. I mean, if you listen to his family hold their press conference in Belgrade overnight, all was going great until, our very own Australian reporter, Brett McLeod, based over in London for Channel 9, specifically asked the fact that, you know, this positive PCR test on the 16th and then sent in public a day or two after, that press conference was abruptly adjourned and they wouldn't answer any questions on that. So that'll be interesting to see whether Novak's prepared to answer any questions on that. Because if he does stay here and he competes next Monday, like all the top players, they always hold a pre-tournament press conference. And, you know, there's lots of questions that no doubt people want to ask Novak. And I think he'll know and read the room that he's got to come out and say something. He has to speak and offer some clarity, you know, prior to a ball being hit, if, you know, that all goes his way this week.
Gosh, that's the kind of scenario that I'd be getting my popcorn out for, I reckon, that press conference. Yeah. It will be good. So at the moment, Novak is free to play the Australian Open. Another player who is free to play, but we're not sure whether we'll be there because of COVID, is Nick Kyrgios, who's come out and said that he tested positive. From all reports, he's been looking really fit and up for the Aussie Open and ready to really perform. How much of a blow is this for his preparation?
Yeah, well, I mean, if there's one guy, Joe, that could probably come into a Grand Slam, having not played any lead-up tournaments and just sort of on a whim produce a bit of magic, it is Nick. I mean, he's just got this freakish talent. Mm. And you're right. I mean, he has, you know, he's been back in Australia for some time, back in Canberra. He's been putting in some work. We're not sort of privy to, you know, seeing all the total behind the scenes, because he hasn't been, you know, totally known for having the strongest work ethic. What he would call training might be totally different to what, you know, Rafael Nadal would call training and preparing for a slam. So he hasn't played a lot. I mean, he hasn't really played a lot in the last 12 months. So, but he is a guy that's got, you know, incredible talent, who could win a couple of matches almost blindfolded. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating year for Nick. I mean, his ranking has plummeted so much. He's not going to be I mean, look, there'll be a lot of tournaments around the world that will want to give him a wild card because he puts bums on seats, but whether he's prepared to travel as well, which he's been a bit reluctant to.
I want to ask BP about this Max Purcell situation with Leighton Hewitt. For anyone who doesn't necessarily know the backstory, I'm slightly familiar on it, but Max has come out and said that Leighton didn't have the balls to tell him that he hadn't got a wild card for the Australian Open. Can you take us behind that situation?
Yeah, this has been bubbling around for a little while about, you know, Leighton's so-called favourites, how these selections are made with wild cards, how selections are made for Davis Cup teams, ATP Cup teams. And it all seems to come back to Leighton and his relationships with people. I mean, the Max thing goes back to the junior days. And Max is a different cat. I'm a big fan. I had him on our show, The First Serve. Great gentleman. I know his coach, Nathan Healy. He's done a lot of commentary with us. Ripper guy. These two make a great team, and Max has progressed. But Max calls it as he sees it. He can be a little bit of a smart aleck at times, but and that, you know, probably put Leighton off many years ago, but he was picked in the ATP Cup team. But this has been an issue for quite some time, whether it's Max or other players speaking out about just the selection of wildcards, particularly for the Aussie Open. I mean, I wouldn't even have wildcards. I mean, Australia's privileged being one of the four Grand Slam nations that we can, you just get into the Australian Open. So many other countries don't have that privilege. I would just scrap wildcards altogether, as far as I'm concerned, because it's never totally accurate, and it comes down to discretion and these little things with relationships and Leighton is look, let's just put it this way, Leighton probably has had too much power, and I think that is trying to be addressed behind the scenes. Wally Masur is there as director of performance, but it seems that Leighton has the power to make and enforce these decisions solely, and he has the backing of Craig Tiley, who's a huge Hewitt fan. So there's a lot playing out behind the scenes there.
Do you reckon Leighton's young bloke's going to get a wild card when he's ready?
I watched that ad about 100 times at the ATP Cup last week, the ad that would come on for the new sunscreen with the two of them. he can play, Cruz. Yeah. He's got some talent. I watched him at Melbourne Park last year on the back courts, have a bit of a hit. So, yeah, he's going to be a real talent to have a look at. I mean, he's got great genes, obviously. No pressure. You know, I think Leighton's been pretty good in that regard in terms of letting him just take his course. But he seems to have really fallen in love with tennis, Cruz. And, yeah, we'll watch his progress with much interest, like a lot of father-son sort of combinations around the world.
Yeah, you know, the problem with that is the difference is, you know, you grow up in Cootamundra, and if your dad's coach of the under 12 cricket side, then you get to bat three and open the bowling, right? This is a little bit different. your dad's a former world number one, and you get a wild card into the Aussie Open. It's, you're right, BP. Maybe it is an imbalance of power there for Leighton Hewitt.
Yeah, well, as I said, I just scrap wild cards altogether. I think there's a lot of players around the world who think it's, highly unfair. I mean, you've got a lot of federations who have got extraordinary talent who would never get a leg up like that, like our Aussie players do for the summer of tennis. It is great for them, but I just think it's going to be based on merit of performance, and there's many players ranked above our Australian players who would deserve to play in some of these tournaments. But that's the way the tennis system sort of works.
Well, I'm going to read the credit line here that says, catch every game of the biggest NBL season yet. Do it live on ESPN. Do it streamed on KO. The unfortunate thing about that, we haven't had a whole heap of NBL. What did you say it was, Joe? It's going to be 26 days?
25 days, I believe, for the Hawks come Thursday.
Okay, so that brings us to our coach, our special guest for today, Brian Gorge, and also a coach of the Boomers. So the first question for you this morning is, Gorge, what on earth have you been doing, mate? Good morning.
We've been getting better, I think. You know, like I said, during, we had a 10-day period where we were just in our rooms. We had an opportunity to video, Zoom, and assess where the team was at and where we needed to get better at and have a focus when we came out of that. And, again, with all of this stuff, we've talked about it from the beginning, I think it's mindset, you know, and you don't want to come out of this break saying, you know, are we going to be rusty? excuse, you know, leading into the game, more the upside of here's the things that we were bad at. Let's bring this and make sure that we're better at these things. And we had three things that we really, really focused on over the 6 days of training. And, you know, we're really excited to play. And, you know, it looks like we're going to get a shot at that on Thursday.
Fingers crossed, touch wood for the moment. You'll be playing against the Sydney Kings, who have also had their own issues with games being cancelled and injuries and things like that. But, Gorge, this is only going to be your second home game of the season. What's the anticipation like playing not only another game finally, but in front of your home fans, because we know how passionate they can be?
The disappointment, you know, we played our first home game, and you go back to the year before where we played our first 15 games on the road and had no, and it was a brand new team and had no relationship with the community here. And it took all the way to the finals to build and get something going and to come out of the blocks and play our first game at home. And really for our situation here to have in that first game, you know, we come into the game undefeated. And again, only 2-0, I think it was at that time. But we won 2 on the road. We come in and we win a double overtime game at the buzzer and had about 3,500 fans there. And there was so much energy coming into those next few games with Phoenix. And you know, we've got that strong rivalry now with the Kings. So, a stop in it. I just have no feel now. We've been in lockdown. You know, I when you walk the streets and you interact, you get a feeling about the community and the support you have. It's just no feel right now. And constant stoppage, constant not knowing. But it is the Kings, which is a perfect one for us because there's so much in that game. We're just hoping that Thursday night's going to be a great night and we get that opportunity to start this thing again with, you know, because we do have not only the Kings, we got about a 4 or 5 game period here at home where we really got an opportunity to get the community behind us. So Fingers crossed that this is, you know, that most of these teams have had their cases. They're coming out the other side and we can get rolling.
You mentioned you concentrated on three things, Brian, in that period. What were the three things? And the second part to this question is, was 4 too many to concentrate on?
You know what? That's a really good question. Three things really stuck out, you know, and we're not the defensive team that we were last year. You know, like when you go back to the Brisbane game, if it would have been the year before with a lesser team, we would have got stops down that last 2 or 3 minutes and won the game. Our mindset is, you know, we're going to score. Get me the ball. I'm going to get a bucket. And, you know, so we had a couple issues, and again, I'm not going to get bit, a couple issues that were consistent on the defensive end of the floor that needed to be cleaned up. And then on the second side of it, we do got a lot more offensive firepower, but the ball's not moving. So that, you know, the ball comes over the floor, you got a first side of the floor, a second side of the floor, and a third side of the floor. Can you get the ball side to side, or are you going to get to the point as soon as the ball crosses half court? And we want to get the ball side to side. So, you know, we've been doing a lot of focus on that. And then the middle ground of it is turnovers in transition. You know, we're trying to play at a fast tempo and we want to play at a fast tempo. There's no sense of doing that if you turn the ball over before you shoot it. So those have been the emphasis. And then, you know, if you set a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, how do you keep these guys conditioned? How do you keep moving forward without injuries? And a lot of these clubs and a lot of these teams are saying, oh, we've got this guy out, this guy out, this guy out. And I learned that with the Boomers. A lot of that, you know, some things you can't control, but a lot of it is, well, we're in new chartered territory. How do you come out of 7 days quarantine or 10 days quarantine? If you go right back to what you were doing, you're going to get injuries. So part of this thing is, can you keep moving forward and keep your guys healthy? COVID's another issue, but just, you know, injuries, and you look 4 or 5 guys out, how are you going about your training? And it's something that, again, we've put a lot of faith in our conditioning program and our physio.
You mentioned the fact that you've been really well rested, obviously 25 days between games. You mentioned trying to avoid being rusty before, but how do you do that? Are you just scrimmaging particularly hard with the guys? I mean, you've got the Kings on Thursday, but then top of the table, Perth Wildcats come Sunday. So relatively back-to-back games, which is obviously a good thing, and we'll get the momentum going. But how do you guarantee that from the outset come Thursday night that you are not rusty and you're out there ready to play?
I really don't think you can. I don't care what you do. It's like if you got a certain energy, you know, injury, and you roll, you work on the bike and run in the water for 6 weeks, and then you go on the court. There's nothing like playing, and you can't simulate, whether it's scrimmaging or whatever, you can't simulate a game. So that is going to be there, and a mentality of playing through that rust and not having that as an excuse. And how can you still win when you're going to have rust? All right. I mean, and I think that's, you know, is the focus going to be on that or these other areas that we talked about? Okay, you may miss shots, you may miss free throws, we may be out of sync, but how do you still play together and win through that? Because it's going to be there. And letting the players know there's a mentality that it's not going to be perfect. No head dropping, head up. Man, this is some of the stuff that you're just going to have to go through and everybody's going to deal with, because as you say, it's uncontrollable. It's out of your control. But there are things that you can control, and you want to be great there.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you back out there on Thursday and then Sunday, as I mentioned, against Perth. It was revealed that you will not be coaching the Boomers at the World Cup qualifiers next month. Rob Beveridge stepping into your place in order to enable you to stay with the Hawks and focus on the NBL. How hard is that for the head coach to be able to step aside and not have control for those games, which obviously will be crucial? And because the lack of NBL and NBA players that will be there, they're probably going to be pretty tough for the Boomers as well, Gorge.
100%. I mean, and again, I just say to everybody, look at what Joe Chi's doing to our competition.
Mm.
And you're not winning in getting to where you want to go without your best NBL players playing in these games. So my point was, how can I ask, and again, Patty Mills and Joe Ingles put a culture in place where the best players put their hand up when you're called on to play. And my mindset when we came back to these games is, we've got to have the best NBL players playing in this, or we're not going where we need to go. And in order to do that, how can I ask for that if I'm not going to coach it? So the plan was, leading in, best players and the staff. And that was the plan up until, and again, we've had tremendous support from the NBL. The competition was going to stop, and we were going to be able to not play this without missing games. Now, once COVID hit, and what we just talked about for the last 10 minutes leading into this, there's no way that the NBL could stop the competition. And if they can't stop the competition, again, COVID changes where we can go with this. So, I mean, we're very fortunate. I said that before. You got a guy of the quality of Rob Beveridge, you know, available. And again, the NBL's done a tremendous job as far as the amount of kids playing in the development programs. And we'll have a quality youth group playing, but long term, to qualify for the world, you know, we're going to need our top guys playing. But this is a one-off case with the COVID situation.
Yeah, that bloody C word. Hey, just before we let you go, Gorge, a quick word on Josh Green, who over the past couple of days has gone back-to-back with career highs for the Mavericks. I know I've spoken to you about him before, but looking on and the progress and development that he's made from being with you in the States and in Tokyo to now playing some really meaningful minutes with Dallas, what is that like for you watching on?
No, it's so great, because, I mean, there's been a lot, you know, of what Josh Giddey's done, and full credit. I mean, it's been incredible the impact he's had. But what you're seeing in Josh Green right now is what he brought to the camp and why he made the team. And when you look at it, one, you're just, I mean, he has to deal with sitting on the bench with the national team and then going to the Mavericks and sitting on the bench. And it's how these guys do the day-to-day. Jock Landale talks about it a lot. And now your opportunity presents itself and for him to cash in like that. And then for the national team, for the Boomers, you know, Patty and Joe, what they've done. Now, what do you have to hand it over to? And how exciting is it with Tybal, with Josh Green, with Dante Exum, and Josh Giddey? I mean, real exciting time for the future that we're not going to – those guys take it to a level and it stops. They take it to a level and it goes another level. And that's the goal. That's what we're trying to get done. And Josh Giddey's a key piece. And Josh Green's a key piece.
Yeah. Just on that, and I know you had a lot of time in lockdown and not so much now that you're out and about and preparing for games. How much contact do you have with those guys in the NBA? Do you have a WhatsApp group where all the ex-Boomers are getting together and you get around each other? How's that work out, Brian?
Though I know that Joe and Patty have and they link in whenever they come into town and play each other. There's so much more energy towards that than it was 12 years ago. And me coming back, they get that done. And there's a real tight bond. You see it all the time after a game's over, or I get photos of the guys out to dinner before a game, a note saying, man, I saw Jock. He's in a great spot, playing well, blah, blah, blah. But for me personally, I just try to touch them with a message each time they do something, or each time, you know, like Josh, I sent something this morning. You know, Dante, I'll send something when he moves, just to stay in touch and let him know that we're following. And I think that's an important piece when you think back to getting that medal and everybody saying we're together for life. And really, it's all BS if right now you're not, you know, we're not in communication. And that group, Sobe just had a baby. You know, I got a message this morning. I mean, it's for life. And you gotta follow up. You gotta follow up.
Ah, that's awesome. That is so great. Can I ask you, Brian? I know it's tennis is not your sport. If you were coaching Novak Djokovic right now, what would be? And let's presume he's going to be playing. What would be the messages you're telling him in the build up to this Australian Open? Just out of interest.
You know what? You know I run my mouth a lot. I'm saying right now I'd keep my mouth shut and sit down. And this guy's going to be a firecracker. That's my thought. I don't think he needs anything from anybody. He's got his motivation. He's the best player in the world. I just think for everybody, look out. And everything's been this situation. And again, it's been a crazy year. And I just expect, I mean, something really special when the games come.
Yes, wow. An ominous sign for the rest of the competition there. Hey, Gorge, thank you so much for joining us as always on a Tuesday. So excited for you guys to get back on court on Thursday night. We'll see you down there in Wollongong.
Thanks, Joe. Guys, take care.
Brian Gorge in there, seriously. What about this? We get Doc DK Muzza says,
I love this message.
Gorge could sell coal to Newcastle.
So
respect.
Good. I know. And it's so true.
You know what the other thing about it is? I'd buy it too. If Gorge was selling it to me and I lived in Newcastle, I'd buy the coal.
100%.
That's what we're all like. 1300-01-1170. The text line 0457-736-736. A break and then back with more. On Friday, it'll be the pink ball test match. It'll be coming to you. Second pink ball test match in a series. Amazing that England agreed to it in many ways down there in Hobart. Of course, we look forward to that. You'll hear it all on 1170 SEN and around the SEN network. Download the SEN.com.au app as well to listen to that. Just before we get to your news update, Joe, we were talking about TV numbers. And look, it was an absolutely thrilling finish to the test match. Should Pat Cummins as declared earlier on day four, well, I still stand by that. Absolutely should have. But what it did lead to, I mean, the top rating show that night was the Seven News, who I'm sure got a massive leg up from the cricket. 1.37 million people watching that one. But the cricket had 900,000 people watching, and that's just the five cap cities, right? That's not That's not considering all the regionals as well. I'm sure the regionals would have been very strong on that one. But if you go to the subscription television, I know we had a Big Bash League game on afterwards, the Scorchers v the Sixers up at Coffs Harbour. But their numbers on across Fox Cricket were astronomical. Over 500,000 people were watching the last bit of that test match, 400 and all the different segments of it, you know, the just prior to stumps, just the tea session, et cetera, et cetera.
So the 900,000 is free to air.
That's just free to air.
Wow.
That's excluding regionals. Mm-hmm. And that's excluding obviously Fox Sports. I reckon you're looking at near enough, just shy of about 2 million people watching Steve Smith, the great batter, bowling to Jimmy Anderson,
the great bowler.
that's how it played out. So amazing finish to the Test match, and absolutely enthralling.
Just on the cricket, we were talking yesterday, following on from Adam Zampa's comments about how he's frustrated that the Big Bash is having a bit of an identity crisis, that the integrity of the competition has come into question because there are so many players out with COVID, with injuries. I think it's the Heat and Stars are the two teams at the moment that are suffering the worst. I think they've both got about a dozen players missing. So they're talking about the Big Bash players, a pool of players being in that bubble. The competition has now moved into a bubble. James Pattinson withdrawing from the rest of the competition, so the Renegades are struggling even further. He's withdrawn due to bubble fatigue and to try and get his body better. Monabi has also gone back to Afghanistan for personal reasons. So disappointing for the Renegades and it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out, especially once this fifth test is over, Jimmy, to see whether anything changes in terms of those fans in the stands, but also people watching from their homes. Bit of other news around. Obviously, we mentioned Cam Smith before, into the top 10 players in the world for the first time. Took home about $2 million Australian for winning the Tournament of Champions. The first PGA Tour winner of 2022. Has quite a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And I know yesterday I was super hyped for the fact that it was Clay Day.
Yes.
After 941 days out, he came in and scored 17 points in 20 minutes. The Warriors had a big win over the Cavs, holding them to 82. So defensively, they were on song. But it was just amazing to see how hyped the commentators were, the fans were, the players before the game. It was a spectacle. It was very cool.
For Steph Curry to do what he did, you mentioned yesterday that he changed his profile pic, must be a very, very popular team member, right, at Golden State, Klay Thompson.
Definitely. An integral part of the three championships that they won in the mid-teens? What are we calling that? 2015,
yeah, we'll call it
13,
mid-teens.
12, yeah. Something like that. And yeah, no, it was really exciting to see. And it was awesome. He scored their first 2 points of the game. He then went down the lane and dunked on three Cavs players. I can't remember who it was who's on the actual poster, but just really cool after suffering an ACL injury and then an Achilles in training on his comeback to have missed 2.5 seasons and return in that kind of form. It was pretty cool.